You can be seated. So let me just tell you that it's one of the things I love about this church, that when God moves, we don't have to wait on a place in a program. We don't have to wait on somebody to invite us. We don't have to wait for things to be perfect. I love this church because when God moves, people just know that they have freedom here. And man, as we celebrate today, let me just tell you that I thank you guys for that. Because not every church gets to experience that. Not every group of believers that come together have the freedom and the opportunities that we have here. And that's because we allow that to happen. And so just thank you for being willing to hear and listen to what God says, not what Ron says, not what anybody else says, but just what God says. And so thank you for freedom in this place. And so today we're gonna celebrate that freedom, and we're gonna enjoy our time together. And I just want to bring some things to help us be reminded of why it is we do what we do, and all the cool stuff that God's done over the last 2 years. And you know, it's been quite a roller coaster in a lot of ways. And for some of you, you've been here through all of it. Some of you, you've just kind of caught the tail end and you're like, what's he talking about? And all that stuff. But the reality is that, you know, 5 years ago we came here as High Rock Church, and we came here because God had called us to plant a campus of High Rock here. And we came and we were looking, you know, for a place for God to put us, and we had a plan, and we had the way we were going to do it. And as we got here and got closer, God said, wait a minute, you have a plan, but I have a bigger plan and a better plan. And so we clued in with him, we tuned in to what he had to say, which is always a good thing to do. We ended up meeting this amazing little church called East Albemarle Baptist. And I'll never forget the day that we came over and had the opportunity to meet Pastor Eddie. And I just knew from the minute that I walked in the room that there was just something special about him. And I knew that God had a plan, and it was going to be good. And I just needed to listen. And so God brought us through a period of merging East Albemarle and High Rock together. And we started out in the little worship center over there, you know, with the pink carpet and the wood pews and a choir loft. And so slowly but surely, we kind of just mixed things together as God led us. And you know, we came together as two churches, and God just did some really cool stuff over there while he opened the door for us to be able to come over into this room and just open up to have more opportunities for more people to come. And people gave and served and did a lot of cool stuff to get us here. And so as we, you know, we kind of just followed along. And for 3 years, that's who we were. And through some circumstances, through some just God moving in some different ways and just continuing on his plan. 2 years ago, we had the opportunity to become our own standalone church, and as God kind of brought us to a place of non-existence, God said, no, you don't understand. You're not called there because of the name of the church. You're called there because of the people. And so Kelly, my wife, and I stayed, and we continued on, and a lot of people got behind us and just supported us and worked beside us and helped us. And man, just the last 2 years have been a whirlwind of things. There have been some extremely high highs. There have been some extremely low lows. There have been all kinds of things in the middle. Some of you have experienced those things in your own lives, and you know, as you guys experience those, you just need to know that you drag me along with you. All right, I'm there. I'm going to be there with you as best I can, and as much as you'll let me, and I'm going to ride them with you. And we've all gone through a lot of different things. But the amazing fact is that God's never changed in all of it. He's continued on his plan. It doesn't matter who's here, who's not here. It doesn't matter, you know, what's going on, not going on. It just, if we'll follow him, he just does cool stuff. And so today we just want to celebrate all that he's done in the last 2 years. So much that you guys have been involved in and part of and allowed to him to just move in your lives and do it. And so today is just going to be about celebrating. But it's not going to be about celebrating stuff that he's done. It's going to be thinking about what he wants to do. Because he's not done, and I'm not done, and I hope you're not done. Because, listen, we're still a baby. You know, anybody got a two-year-old in here? Yep, you're still changing their diaper, wiping their butts and noses and all that stuff. Listen, we're a baby church still. We're still learning. We're still, gosh, I can't believe I'm going to use this. We're still pooping in our pants as a church some, okay? Gosh, I shocked myself that was going to come out, okay? But it's true. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes, and we don't have it all together. It's just going to be a time where we just keep trying to dig in what God's got for us, and we just keep trying to follow him the best that we can, and we're going to celebrate the good things. We're going to mourn and everything else, the bad things. But we're going to keep on following him and looking for what he has, because that's what my Bible shows me that you do. That you don't quit because things get tough. You don't quit because things aren't going your way. You don't quit because things aren't exactly, you know, how you would have it. It's that you keep on keeping on, and you keep trusting him most of all. That's the key. And so that's what we're going to do as a church. And so I want us to dig down into some scriptures just to celebrate together. And hopefully we're going to laugh together. You know, before it's all over with, we may cry together. It's already happened, okay? And because God's just moving. And I think today I prayed all week that this is going to be a special day. It is special already. And I think before this is all done, it's going to be even better. So let's just focus in on who he is and let's celebrate him today. Because I'm excited about what's going on. I think he just has some cool stuff. 1 Thessalonians 3:9, the Apostle Paul is writing here to the church in Thessalonica. He says this, "How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence." I think all week I've been, man, how I thank God for you guys. How I thank God for you, and as I get ready to be here today, I'm thanking God for all the different faces and all the different things that he has done. And it's just cool that you're here. You allow him to be in your life. You allow me and my family to be part of your lives. And I thank God for you. And it's because of you that I have great joy. And it's because of you that so many others have great joy as they enter into his presence. Think about it for a minute. You know, you can make the world an extremely different place. You can make the world an extremely better place, and you can make the world an extremely worse place. And we have the ability to change our world. We watch the news and we say, oh, it's, you know, the sky is falling. And it is terrible. But listen, it doesn't have to be terrible as far as it depends on you. And it doesn't have to be terrible as far as it depends on me. We have an opportunity to change things. We have the opportunity for people to say, thank you, God, for that person in my life. Thank you, God, that you sent them so that they have made me better. So they've made my world, and because my world's better around them, then their world is better. Thank you for that. We have the ability to do that. We know we can make it worse. Man, you don't have to look far to find an example of that. But sometimes to see it better, you got to look harder than you do to see how to make it worse. That was a preacher voice there, wasn't it? But the reality, but it's just true. And I'm thinking, man, how do we change that? I think we've begun that here. I think that our community is better because of our church. I think our community can be a lot better because of our church, but I think it's better because of it. And I think that people thank the Lord and thank God because we're here. But if we're careful, that can go away. And I don't want to see that go away. I want to see that increase. I want to see it grow. And so what I want us to do for a minute is just think about how the world is better, how things are better because of URE Community Church for a little bit, because of you and the things that you've allowed us to be part of. And so I just want us to take a moment and just celebrate some of the things that have happened over the last 2 years. And so this is going to kind of, the pictures are going to fly by, but I want, if you've been here a while, you're going to see some things that are going to take you back somewhere. And so my prayer is as we check this out and as we celebrate together, that this won't only be that we celebrate again what's happened, but that we look forward to what's going to happen. So let's watch this together. So I got to tell you, as I sat and put those pictures together and just kind of tried to make that, you know, some of you may have seen I posted yesterday, just the emotions that overwhelmed me as I saw all the things that God's done. And there's just so many more that could have been in there, man. I could have made that thing like an hour long. And I figured y'all start throwing stuff at me if it was that. So anyway, plus I couldn't take that song any longer. So anyway, but you know, the reality is that there's just so much that we have to be thankful for. There's so many people that can be thankful because we're here. But there's so many more that we have yet to reach, and we're gonna work on that, and that's all to come in a whole nother message, you know. But today we're gonna celebrate and realize some things. But because of you, the world's better, and we need to continue to do that. I want to spend some time. We're gonna just read some scripture together, and I'm gonna tell you some stories and everything, and then we're gonna get on with lunch, and so you don't have to worry about getting out of here at a particular time because we're eating together, and hopefully, you know, you've made plans to do that because we want you all to stay afterwards and do that together. If you hadn't, you'll probably have time to go get a bucket of chicken or something. But anyway, that's a whole nother. If you didn't bring anything, to worry, we got plenty. So just hang out. So let's do it together. Let's read this. I'm gonna break it down for you, and then we'll learn some things together. The Apostle Paul is again writing. Now he's writing to the church in Corinth. He's writing to a group of people that have a lot. You know, they had more than most everybody else, and they were kind of like us. They seem to be way more blessed than some other people. And so Paul's talking to them about that. They had a lot of wealth, and we do too. And so here's kind of where he starts out. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 11, and then going on to 13, he says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Now, in the newer version of the NIV, I like just being made rich, but it says to be enriched. It means to be in kind of added to and everything else. But he says, that you be made rich so that you can be generous in every way. I love the way that he talks about every way. You know, we always want to be rich and financially, but we've been rich, made rich in a lot of ways. You know, we've been made rich in relationships and in health and in opportunities and all of those things. We've been made rich so that we can be generous on every occasion, just like as if Paul was writing to them, he could write the same thing to us. And so why does God make us rich? So we can blow it all on ourselves? I don't think so. Here's what he says. And through your generosity and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Paul tells them they've been made rich in every way so that they can be generous in every occasion so that they can, through their generosity, that people will thank God. And for us, we've been made rich in every way so that that we can be generous with what we have so that other people will thank God. And we need to understand that's why we've been made rich, so that we can help others. That as you're faithful to the call that God has put on your life, that there will be people around the world who will thank Him because of your generosity. They'll thank God because of the way that you serve. Just think about this. Imagine somebody kneeling down tonight, maybe as they say their prayers or whenever they may say them, but as they kneel and vow and acknowledge God and acknowledge the things that they're thankful for in their lives, that you make that list because you were willing to do with what God gave you what needed to be done. And just imagine that feeling. See, I think there's a lot of us that do things and we don't ever feel like anybody is grateful for it or thankful for it. But the reality is, it's not about us necessarily knowing it. It's about people being able to experience it and be thankful for it. Our work and our job, our responsibility is to always point people to God so that they'll be thankful to Him for what we do. Here's what verse 12 says. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service, This is because of the way that you do what you do and that you let go of what you let go of, by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. I believe with all of my heart that when we come together as a church, whenever we get to a place where we can overcome the consumerism that we've allowed church to become for us, and when we come to a place where we see ourselves as spiritual contributors to the world, to add to give to rather than take from, when we get to a place where we realize that's really who we're to be and who we've been blessed to be, that when we realize that the church doesn't exist for us, it doesn't exist to make me, to fulfill all of my needs. It just doesn't. It doesn't exist for you to have all your needs fulfilled. That's God who does that. The church isn't here for that. The church is here for us to be able to grow and experience things, but for God to be able to bring people here to hear His word and to be changed by it. And when we get that, let me just tell you that things will be incredible. Things will change in such a drastic way we won't even know what to do with it. We'll be blown away by that. When we get it and really truly understand it, I think this community will definitely be at a place where it will miss us if we're no longer here. And I think that's what one of our responsibilities, that we're here so that people will thank God because of what we do, not to puff ourselves up, not to blow our heads up because we have an ego about it, but because people are different, because they've met God here and they've been able to see Him work in us and through us. Today I want to tell you some stories because I think stories are this unique way of allowing us to see what happens. And these are not just made up stories. These are true stories. These are actual accounts of people here that have been changed because of other people around us. You need to make no mistake that God is changing lives here. There are people who are different because of the things that you do. So I want to tell you, God, He's changing lives. How? First, because of your serving, God is changing lives. Because of your serving, if you want to write that down, you can there on your program. Because of your serving, God is changing lives. 2 Corinthians 9:13, Paul says this, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God. People are different. They'll see Him because you serve. There are people, I believe this, there are people who when they say their prayers, they call your name. They acknowledge some of your actions because they're thankful for it. When you serve, serving doesn't get we don't look to be servants, do we? Nobody wants to be hired as a servant. Nobody wants to carry that name. Nobody wants to think of themselves that way. But listen, let me tell you that serving is the highest pinnacle of the Christian life. It is the highest place to be attained as a follower of Jesus. To be looked at as a servant is a high thing. What did Jesus say? He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Jesus, the Son of God, who was in heaven, had it made, no worries, no nothing. He stepped out, came down to be a servant, not to be served, not to be put on a pedestal. And so that's how we've got to look at it. I love the fact that there are people here that want to serve, that are willing to give of themselves and of their time and are willing to do that. If we call ourselves followers of Christ, our lives have to model not just what He said, but what He did. That's part of us continuing to see lives change. Is we've got to be able to model it even more so. Got to be willing to let go. He turned to His disciples at the Lord's Supper. They were arguing over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, We all kind of have that. I want to be the greatest. You want to be the greatest? Who doesn't? So they're kind of back and forth about it. Jesus says, hold up. Whoever's the least will be the greatest. I mean, it kind of stopped that conversation in its tracks. Because he said, no, if you want to be the greatest, then you got to get down on your knees and you got to take a towel and you got to wash the donkey dung off the feet of your fellow disciples. See, that's what he did. He says, if you want to be the greatest, you got to be the least. You got to be willing to serve other people. If you say you're a Christian and you don't serve, if you say you're a follower of Christ and you don't serve in any capacity, it's impossible. If you're a follower of Christ, it's impossible not to serve because you want to be like him. And so if you don't serve anywhere, let me tell you, I'm not saying that you're not a Christian. I'm just saying you're not a healthy Christian at the moment. That's not Ron's opinion. That's the scripture. And so I want to tell you that the way that we make our church better, the way that we move on to year three, the way that we move on to 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 is that more of us become servants. We see that here. We've got a lot of people that serve. But the reality is that we've all got to be there. If that's who we claim to be, then that's part of how that goes. It's just part of the deal. So I want to encourage you, if you're not serving, listen, don't get mad at me because I'm saying you're not a Christian. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if you want to be one that exemplifies who Christ is, then you got to find a place to plug in. Maybe it doesn't have to be here. It's just got to be somewhere because that's what followers of Christ do. I love the stories that I've heard this week. Let me tell you some of them because I reached out and I said, hey, tell me about somebody who's affected you. Not infected, that's kind of weird, affected you at your church. And so we asked this question, if they've infected you, that's probably not very Christ-like either. I'm just going to read some of these to you. I didn't ask them if I could read them, but my goodness, they put them on social media. So, you know, everything on social media now is just commonplace. So here's the deal. So here are some of them. Sarah Beth Troublefield. Sarah Beth was one of the original team members that came here when High Rock came as a campus and kind of merged. They were here in that first year and everything. She wrote this. She said, our time with you guys was greatly affected by Patty Louder and her family. I love and miss you all dearly. Her family, even when going through such huge changes to their church, was always there and supportive to us all. They were and still are most definitely a cornerstone for URA Community Church. That's absolutely true. No doubt about it. Patty Louder, Wayne, who was playing keyboards up here earlier, and their family, man, they, you know, and what you don't know is Wayne's family was one of the original families of East Albemarle Baptist. That family's been a cornerstone of this church longer than this church has been here. It's pretty amazing to know that story, but they've been so important, and they serve, and they're active, and they pray for you guys and for the church, and they just, you know, Wayne's on our lead team and everything else. That is a big family. Jennifer Moore, who will soon be Jennifer Graham. Stop there. So when I was searching for churches after my separation, I felt lost and confused. Missy Archer invited us to come visit her church. That was over 2 years ago. We have found a church family that we love and who love us. And so that's an invitation to somebody who was at a place that needed something. And Missy was faithful and invited them, and they came. And now they're here and just, you know, it's just amazing how God's done some cool stuff in their lives. Gwen Griffin said, the first person, because there are so many, that comes to my mind is Hannah Bundy. She's loved my kids, and that means so much to me. That's absolutely true. Hannah stepped in and helped with our youth as you know, the transition with that Gabe guy, you know, whatever. You notice I put a picture of him eating something up there in the video. But anyway, you know, she's just stepped up, and she's loved my girl and my family and everything else. So what a cool thing. Bubba Watson, Brian Bubba Watson, said, Wow, so many names I can think of. First one that comes to mind is the person that invited us to visit before UCC happened, and that's Beth Boss. She introduced us to our church family, and Beth and Heath are here today, and it's so cool to have them, and they were part of that core team, and Beth had already gone back to their other campus, and Beth works here in the county, and she worked with Bubba, and she just, you know, he was looking for a church. She invited him. They came, and they've been here. They've just recently moved and are in the process of moving away, and we're going to miss them. But, you know, that's just the impact, again, that an invitation, just, hey, come to church with me. It means so much to people. Laura Jordan said Helen Irvin and her family, they've been the nicest, most welcoming people from day one. Yeah, they're a pretty nice family. Yeah, so they are pretty happy and they're good people. Brian is one of our lead team members, and so we're just thankful for all of them. And so Shane Harbison said, before I came to URI, I was basically staying every other night at the Midland Gang's house, LOL. So they invited me to church, and I've been going there ever since. I can't thank them enough for what they've done for me. Noah, Lizzie, Maddie, and Donna. And, you know, man, again, you love people, and you tell them, and you just show it, and who knows what God does in somebody's life because you're just faithful. So thank you, Medlands, for what you do and how you love people. Danielle Whitley said, there are multiple people at URI, past and present, that have helped Jason Whitley and I so much. And, man, I love the fact she couldn't even name somebody, you know. That's good. Nancy Carter. Nancy and her family were here. They moved back to their, I think, Ohio is where they were from. They moved back. But she says this, I always remember your sweet dad, Pastor Ron. Such a great, great smile, kind words, and such a good handshake. And, man, Dad, good job, brother. I taught you well. No, I'm just kidding. Taught you well. No, my dad is always been a supporter of me for one thing, but really just, he's just been an example. And I appreciate the fact that he drives as far as he does to come and hang out and serve and just do what he does. I'm thankful for him. Patty Louder said this, so many people truly, but one that might need to hear it. Because this is what I said. I said, listen, if somebody's affected you, you need to say it because they may need to hear it too. So let me just read this. But one that might need to hear it is Cornelius Jones. He's been a part of my life since I was about 12. He and Miss Margie took us on youth trips, led youth meetings, you name it, they did it. He's been such a friend and such a positive person through some tough times in our lives, especially when loved ones have had to leave us. He is always there with a hug and an encouraging word. My family and I love him dearly. Hey, Cornelius, would you stand up for me? Hey, here's what you need to know. East Albemarle Baptist Church started in Cornelius Jones and Margie Jones' basement and in their house. Right over here off of Layton Road, they began to meet together, and that's where this church really started at, was in their basement. They hosted, they brought people in, and they allowed God to use whatever they had to do something really amazing. And so think about all the things that have happened, not just in the last 2 years, but the last 5 years of us being here and all the years before that, up to about like 69, right? 1969, as long as I've been on this earth, this church has been here. And so think about all the things that have happened in those 47 years. And it's because somebody was just willing to let somebody use whatever they had. What do you have? What could God use of yours that could change so many lives? Not even that many, but just one life. If you got a living room, listen, you got a place that God can have church. You know, you got a backyard, build a big fire and people will come. It just happens. You know, that's, you know, not just the fire department, but you know, whatever it takes, man, whoever shows up. But that's how it works. You know, Roxanne Riley, I love Roxanne. She's so cool. She says this, Bobby Klein, and I left out part that you said. I know it's not all you said because you get my point. Bobby Klein has been a real big inspiration. She cooks and feeds many and never complains. Your dad is a big inspiration. He always smiles and welcomes everyone. Pastor Eddie, he is the care pastor. He really does care. That's true. Everett and Kim Stokesberry, many more that inspire and welcome the people. A lot of them I'm not good with names of, but I remember their face. And when I'm away from there, I check in the best I can and miss being there. I mean, Roxanne, you need to know, she gets called away for months at a time on work, and she always keeps up. We always, you know, she's always communicating through Facebook, and she's just faithful. But you guys need to know, she encourages me so much, but as she impacts our church, you know, you guys impact her because you're just willing to do those things. Lauren says this, I was in a time of crisis and surely in need of God the first Sunday that she came. I walked through those doors and Pastor Eddie was the first person to greet me. After the service, I talked with Eddie some more of my situation. I felt the Holy Spirit working through that man. I felt God's protection, comfort, and love through Eddie's kind manner. I am always grateful and thankful for your kindness and compassion. So let me just tell you, you know, we are so blessed that we have Eddie Connell here. And that picture just speaks so much of who he is. And if you've not had much time to hang around with him and spend with him, let me just tell you that you need to make a point of it. From day one, he and I have been friends, and he's been somebody that I could trust, somebody I could confide in, somebody that I could spill my guts to, somebody that I could pray with, somebody that could pray for me, somebody that has just encouraged me so much. And so I am so thankful that we have the resource that we have in Eddie Connell. And so I couldn't think of the 2 years here without he and Kathy and just all the things that they've done. It's just been amazing. And so I just thank God for you guys. And when I, yeah, absolutely. So thank you for all that you guys have done for me and my family. It's been awesome. So there have been many stories, and many of you, you know, I'm sure you have your own, and those are just the ones that responded to me, and I just wanted to share them because none of them are the same other than the theme of somebody was willing to serve. Somebody just wanted to be available. Somebody wanted to step outside of their comfort zone and welcome, you know, somebody that was here. Somebody just wanted to step out and comfort somebody that needed to be comforted. Somebody, you know, just wanted to tell somebody hello. Somebody wanted to use what they had, whatever it was, to allow God to change people's lives. Listen, those are the things that not one person in this room can't do. Every single one of us can do those things. And so God's calling us to be willing to just open ourselves up and do that. And so because of your serving here, God is changing lives. And the more we serve, let me just tell you, the more lives that will be changed. Here's the second thing. God's changing lives because of your giving. Because of your giving, God is changing lives. Absolutely. Paul goes on to say this in 2 Corinthians 9:11. He says, you will be made rich in every way. That's a pretty bold statement, right? He's saying you'll be made rich. I said, you know, in some translation will say you have been enriched, you know, in every way. We've been so blessed. Every person in this room has been blessed with abilities and skills and talents and just all kinds of stuff that we can allow to be used. I mean, Paul makes a statement. Does he say you'll be made rich in every way so that on Black Friday that you can go and pepper spray somebody for a cheap Xbox? No, that's not why we're made rich. It's not made rich so we can go out and buy more toys and all of that stuff. And I mean, you know, I'm not against toys. We should all have them. And if you can afford them, have them. If, you know, whatever. I'm not anti-toy. You know that. But the reality is we have been given those things, and if we're given the opportunity to have those, it's not so we can just use them for ourselves. It's so that we can share those with someone else. The Bible says where your heart is, there is your treasure. And so we need to look at our treasures and realize, where what's around us will tell us where our heart is. And we need to be willing to look at that and open ourselves up for that. Paul goes on and he says that you've been made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving in God. I just think about the things that have been given here at URI Church in the last couple of years. I mean, over 600 kids somewhere around the world. I don't even know where they all ended up, but over 600 kids have been blessed by Operation Christmas Child because you guys gave. You saw the pictures? That's awesome. Some little kid got a box that had the gospel in it because you were willing to give. They've heard it, and they've had a chance to be changed by it. Over 1,000 meals served at the community inn. Countless socks, hats, scarves, gloves to the homeless. Supplies for the residents of Stanley Manor. School supplies to teachers at East Albemarle and Central Elementary. The backpack meals for students who wouldn't have any food to eat over on the weekends if it wasn't given to them to take home. I mean, the list just could keep going on and on of things that have been given through here in 2 years. Because of your giving, God's changing lives. You need to understand that. I don't just stand up here and ask you to give because I just want your money. I don't get a bonus if I get so much to come in. I get a paycheck. That's kind of cool. We all know what that's like, right? But the reality is that the reason we are here is not for us. It's for us to be able to minister to this community and to take His word outside of here. And it's to be able to help people where they are physically so we can help them spiritually. Because of your giving, God's changing lives. We've had opportunities to see that happen. I have to personally thank so many of you that have given over and above just so URI Community Church can stay here and keep going. It's been difficult over the last few months. It's been tight. Some of you just need to know that we're not rolling in money here. There have been times where my check has not come when it needed to come because we just didn't have it. There are times where we've had to put off doing things so that we can make sure other things are paid. We're up to date on everything. That's a good thing. But the reality is we're not ahead so that we can keep doing the things that we've been doing. So we need to understand that it's important that we give, because when we give, listen, God changes lives. It happens that way. He asks us to be generous so that people will thank God for it. That's why we are to give, not because the church just needs the money. Listen, the CEO of the church has the cattle on 1,000 hills. All right? He doesn't need our money. It's cool when he sells some and gives it to us, though, right? But the reality is that he owns it all, he's got that. I don't have to sweat it because I know that he's got it. But the reality is that he's got it through us, and sometimes we got to let go of it. And so our giving changes lives. We've been able to see so many things done, but the reality is if we're going to continue to see that, and if we're going to move forward in that and have even more impact than we give. We're generous together. And so I want to thank those that have given to help us continue to do that. Listen, when you give here, if you buy stock in a company, guess what? When things happen, positive things happen, what does that do for you? It benefits you, right? You either make more money or you get more stock, whatever, however that works. But it benefits you. Listen, when you invest here and somebody's life is changed for eternity, guess what? You got a part in that. When our doors are open and people come in and they hear the gospel and they're changed by it, and you've been a part that you've served and given and you've plugged in and you've made this part of you, then you get to enjoy being part of that. And you get to celebrate that because that's the way it works. It's incredible. God gives us so many opportunities to be part of what He's doing. And this is just another one. And so I'm thankful for those that give and invest in what he's doing here. It's a powerful thing. Listen, let me tell you a story about Stephanie. Stephanie, you saw in the video, and it's one of the stories I love. It's one of the things that have happened. And Stephanie is, Stephanie's 8, 9. Stephanie's a 9-year-old. She's in URA Kids this morning. And one of the cool things that happens from Stephanie is that Stephanie's family brings her to church, right? So Stephanie comes with her family to church. Her mom and dad bring her here so that she hears the word back there. They come hear the word, and they're plugged in. Well, back at Easter, we had an event here, and we were going to be having baptism. And so what happened was is Michelle, her mom, came to me, said she wanted to be baptized, and that Stephanie was also wanting to be baptized. And so, as I do with everybody, I got to have a conversation, because baptism is important, and it signifies something. It signifies the greatest life change, that you've accepted Christ and the significance of it and everything else. I always want to make sure, especially with kids, that they understand. And so at this event, Pastor Eddie and I were able to have a conversation with Stephanie, and it was an amazing conversation. And she's so smart, and she's been able to hear the word through URA Kids and through her parents. And so she was able to assure me that she had accepted Christ and that she was ready to be baptized. And so on Easter, we were able to first, I was able to baptize her mom. And then second, I was able to baptize Stephanie. And those are great moments in my life. But every time I get to do it, it's just a great moment. But because you give and we're able to be here, we're able to do events like we did that day that I was able to talk with her. And because you do things, you provide a place for families to come and hear the gospel and to be changed by it and to understand it and just allow it to be what guides them in their lives. Listen, when you give, God changes lives. And we need to understand that when the preacher stands up, I don't care if it's this church or another church or wherever, whenever we stand up and we have to ask for money, you need to know that's the most gut-wrenching thing that I have to do in my job. I would rather go plunge the toilets here with my bare hands than to ask you to give money. And you think I'm joking, you should hang out with me. I almost have to go to the bathroom to throw up before I have to do a big ask of money. I'm just telling you, it's difficult because I don't want to have to ask. I want us to be able to just understand it and do it together, but it just doesn't work. You know, everything gets saved but our wallet all the time, you know. And so it just, that's the way it goes. And so the reality is when we have to come and we have to ask for that, it's difficult. But you need to know that when you give, and you give cheerfully, as we talk about, I mean, for goodness sakes, we don't even pass a plate here. We make it so easy for you to walk by and drop it in a bucket, in a basket. Nobody watches. Nobody asks questions. Nobody wonders. We just let you do it on your own. You can even do it by your computer. Hello, 2016. You can even text it in. Hello. You know, it's just as easy as it can be. We do that so that you can enjoy that freedom of being generous, of being cheerful and giving. And so the reality is when you give, though, life change happens. Children like Stephanie get to hear about it back there. When you serve, listen, you go back there and you hang out once a month or a couple times a month with kids in our program back there, URA Kids. Listen, things happen. You need to know that it's important that God changes lives. All the change that we celebrate, it's because that we've served and we've given, and because we serve and we give to an amazing God who loves every single person, and he wants them to be able to experience a relationship with him that's free. And how does that happen? It happens when you understand that he wants that relationship so much that he sent his son Jesus to earth to live a sinless, perfect life for you and I to see as an example. He came and he did that for us, but then more importantly, he died on a cross, paying the price for our sins, was taken off, buried, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead so that the sin penalty was paid by his blood on the cross. And the eternal life that we have been promised is there because of his resurrection. We need to know that is for us. See, we don't have to look for an example. He set the example. He came and he served us. And he gave everything for us. You see, when we have money problems, he died for that. If you're struggling financially, you need to know that he died so that you could be free. Not that you didn't owe money, but he died so that you can have the freedom to live out and be generous and know that when we're generous, that takes all the pressure away. You need to know if you got a marriage problem, he died on the cross for that. He died for the issues that come into our marriages that tear them apart. And because he died on the cross and paid the price for it, we need to make sure that we're living our lives so that it represents the fact that he did that for us. That he set us free from the bondage of being pinned down by all the junk. If you're struggling with your kids, listen, he died for that. You need to give that to him and understand that he set you free from worry. You don't have to worry. You just live out the things that he taught us to do and teach them the things that they need to do. And because of that, you can eliminate so much of the issues in your life. Life's still going to be tough. There's still going to be ups and downs. But listen, because of the freedom we're given by the cross and by Jesus giving his life, we don't have to bear that. And so why am I so passionate about it? Because it's only been 2 years. I believe he's got so many more years to go. And so that means that we got to begin to live our lives out better so that we can be more of a part of what he wants to do. Some of you are so gifted and talented, but you've let things bog you down so that he's not able to do all he wants to do in your lives. Listen, let me tell you, that the moment you let go and you allow him to have control, those things may still chase you. I just think you can run a little bit faster. And I think you can stay out ahead of them because he's there. So today, I got to tell you that I wasn't even in my notes. But that was for somebody today. The reality is we can celebrate all we want to celebrate, but the truth is that today people are struggling. And today people need to experience life change. So what's happened has happened, and that's really good. I'm really excited about that. And we're going to eat, and I'm going to be really happy because I'm going to get pie or something because of that. All right? I don't eat much pie, but, you know. All right, so I lied. Just being real. So, but the reality is that's all good, but today is today. And I need you to look at where you are today. Because if you don't look at where you are today, then tomorrow is going to be a lot stinking harder. And today's the day that you can make some decisions to be different. Today's the day you can make decisions that tomorrow isn't such a struggle. That tomorrow you may struggle, but you need to know that the struggle won't be as bad, and it certainly won't be alone. That there will be somebody there with you. And his name is Jesus, and he loves you, and he cares about you. And he wants better for you. You need to know that when you struggle tomorrow, that there's a whole group of people that'll be there with you. You don't have to do it by yourself. You can have a group of people with you that care and love you because of you. A whole group of people who've been through their own struggles and are going through their own struggles and need you just as bad as you need them. Isn't that a kind of a cool thing about the church? It's not about how somebody here's got it all together and can tell you how to do that. It's that we all messed up. And we're all here and we're all digging through something ourselves and we can all do it together. Because we have an example to live by. And his name is Jesus. And he loves you and he loves me so much that he would give everything that he is and was, and he gave it. He laid it all out there. And so today, let's celebrate, but let's don't leave here the same as we walked in. Let's walk out celebrating what he's doing right now. Verse 13 says, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. If we confess it, then let's be obedient to it. And let's live our lives as if we believe that. Our lives are but a vapor. Listen, you need to understand. 2 years is a blink of an eye. And we're here for the long haul. However long God keeps you and me in this place, breathing and doing whatever, then this is it. And so today's the day. Let's be glad. Let's be thankful. But let's be real. And let's leave here making decisions that we need to make in our lives to be all that He wants us to be. God, we thank You so much for who You are. And God, we thank You for what You've done for us. God, I pray that in these moments, God, that I don't know why You changed directions. I don't know why you brought us to this place right here, right now. But God, I know that You want to do something in our lives. And so, God, You know who needs to move. You know who needs to do it. God, truth be known, we've all got stuff. And we just need to give to You and allow You to have control of and to forgive and for us just to let go. So, God, if that's relationship issues, if it's addictions, if it's people, places, things, whatever it is, God, that we got to let go of, then I pray that You move in this place. And God, that whether You got to heal relationships that are in the room, God, if You got to heal relationships outside of the room, whatever You got to do, God, I thank You so much for how You've moved over the last couple of years, God, and I look so forward to how You're going to move in the future. But God, today, I ask You and I beg You, God, to move in a powerful and real way in life so that, God, we can leave here truly different. God, we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.